B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
All righty. Felger and Maz, 98.5, a Sports Hub simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz, as the summer of 1,000 days off continues. So you have me, Jim Murray, along with Marshall Hook in the Maz chair, and Matt McCarthy in my normal spot for this shortened shift today. We're here only until 4:30 this afternoon as we take you into the pregame show for the first Patriots preseason game on the road against the Detroit Lions tonight, as thankfully football, albeit sort of fake football, is back. Jimmy Stewart, executive producer of this fine program.
Hi.
What used to happen in this chair?
Facilitating. Oh, no. Used to happen was hard opinions. Good, hard opinions. Take no prisoner opinions.
That's right. Now what happens in this chair?
Marshall, what do you think about?
Yeah.
Matt, what do you think about deferral facilitation? That's what happens in that chair now.
A lot of facilitating. Well, I'll tell you what, Jimmy, you can slap my ass and call me Felger today, because I am ready to facilitate like you wouldn't believe for the 2.5 hours we're here.
Does this mean hardcore baseball for the next 2.5 hours?
Well, yeah, I'll put it to you this way. I don't feel particularly fired up about just about anything right now. The big book of sports radio bylaws, hear that, would dictate that we spend these 2.5 hours on Tom Brady's fake extension. And frankly, I'd rather drink bleach than do that. I don't know if you feel the same way about that, Marshall.
I believe you and I discussed this in a commercial break yesterday while spending 3 out of our 4 hours together discussing Tom Brady's contract and his house for sale. I believe in one of those breaks we said, do you really want to keep talking about this? And you and I agreed at that juncture that no.
My advice as a radio manager is you play the hits.
No, we're not going to. I know. Look, I'm not going to be playing my CD collection today, Jimmy. We'll keep it to football. But, you know, I also have to keep my sanity, too. If anything, I should probably call my shrink. I feel like I'm about to lose it. there are things to actually think get sort of interested in for tonight's game. Granted, I'm a little bit biased. I'm football first more than any of the other sports. And there is something I think more interesting than anybody else tonight. And it's the quarterback position. Again, not with Brady. But there's been more of a buzz since the Tom Brady fake contract extension, just a pay bump for 2019, was announced on Sunday. There's been more buzz for their fourth-round draft pick, Jarrett Stidham. I don't know if you guys heard this, but Jeff Howe of The Athletic, who's as plugged in as anybody else and does great Patriots coverage, was on the morning show. It was Jones and Arcand, not on at night, but filling in for Toucher and Rich. And listen to him gush about the fourth-rounder, who could be, ostensibly, Tom Brady's replacement someday.
Well, he's impressive. He's way better right now than Jimmy Garoppolo was at this time.
Wow.
But Stidham has been really impressive. He's the most accurate rookie passer that I've seen in my 11 years covering the Patriots in training camp. And he's physically got the tools. He seems like he's got a pretty good head on his shoulders. And, I think Stidham has way, way, way greater potential than I expected when back in April when they took him in the fourth round.
Wow. And you hear Jones and Arcand, the dual, wow, better passer than Garoppolo.
He's impressive. He's way better right now than Jimmy Garoppolo was at this time.
Wow. A couple of wows from Arcand.
Wow.
Way better than Garoppolo was. So I guess my question to you as facilitator, again, I'm in the facilitator chair today.
Yes.
Do you buy this? And if so, will you actually be rooting for the kid? I mean, if this is the heir apparent to Brady, and considering all the things here with his fake extension, are you hoping that this is the case, too?
Well, I mean, those are two different things. Do I buy it? No, I don't. And merely because I don't believe, and I understand that I'm about to say this as we talk about the team that has Tom Brady on it, but I don't believe that people just discover a quarterback like this quickly. You know, even in the case of Tom Brady, you know, he went through, what, 2 preseasons before he really started to gain any momentum, and he went out there and he eventually took over. Like, didn't we hear all of this sort of stuff about Ryan Mallett, the biggest arm in the world?
Oh, he's got first-round arm talent.
Yeah, I mean, that was the phrase I was looking for. Yeah, he was huge. And everyone, wow, this is the guy.
First round arm talent.
There it is, Mike Mayock.
First round arm talent. And I'm looking at Brian Hoyer, of all people, in 2014 said that Ryan Mallett has, and I quote, the strongest arm I've ever seen. Ryan Mallett is not, I don't think, playing football anymore, is he? I mean, I know he was hanging around with the Houston Texans for a while, but he didn't pan out. So I guess if you're going to be some found jewel, if you're going to be some hidden treasure that we discover, I don't think it happens in the first week of training camp. I don't think you suddenly go, wait a second, you managed to get through the combine, get through a college career, get through workouts, and nobody noticed this, but now that you've spent a little bit of time in our, you know, in our training camp, wait a second, you are something to behold. You have really impressed. I don't buy that it happens that quickly.
Yeah, me either. And there's a big difference between, as we all know, you've watched football, even if you haven't watched football all that much, there's a big difference between practice and actual game speed, even though Jimmy Garoppolo probably looked at like crap at practice.
And a real defense, by the way.
Yeah, right. And so even though he looked like crap at practice, like he did look pretty good when you got to those first couple of games of the season in 2014 rather, when it was, right? Yeah, 2014, mm-hmm. when it was 15. I'm getting confused. When it was Arizona and then Miami.
The mid-20-teens.
Yes, thank
you. Saying.
I know. There's been so much success here in recent years that, you know, you get it all mixed up. I don't know. This feels a little bit propaganda-y to me. And I don't want to take, you know, don't take this as a shot to Jeff Howe. Again, does a great job. And I take him at his word. I'm sure the kid looks good at practice. But this feels, I don't know, you hear this from Mass. There was a report on Mass Live that gets picked up by Pro Football Talk.
He popped.
Yeah, and just the last few days after the Brady contract. So to me, something kind of stinks here. Don't get me wrong, I'm interested to watch this kid tonight, and maybe he does look good. And it'd be great in terms of a transition, whether Brady retires or maybe decides to pick up the phone at 401 at the end of the league year and talk to other teams if they're going to offer him $35, $40 million guaranteed, and maybe walks off and plays for another team next season, even though many people find that unfathomable. But if he is the real deal, well, then great. You hit on a fourth-round draft pick, you have your transition here, and all will be well.
And I'll tell you what I do want to have happen is I want him to take Brian Hoyer's job. Because Brian Hoyer, to me, serves no purpose. Because on the one hand, if Tom Brady gets hurt, well, then what does it matter who you put in there at quarterback? Because Brian Hoyer, to me, is no better than really anybody else, and it'll either be Bill Belichick can coach him up and still win some games, or he can't and they'll suck and it doesn't matter. So to me, Brian Hoyer serves no purpose. He's most certainly not the future. So I would much rather take the backup quarterback position that on a team like this behind Tom Brady, we hope never sees the field, and give that to a guy who might be something. I'm not saying he's going to be something, but being the backup quarterback, the actual backup quarterback, I think has value, developmentally speaking, for a young guy. Whereas if you, keep him around as the third string guy or, you know, try to sneak him through onto the practice squad or what have you, fine. We really want to find out? Let's make him the backup quarterback. Let's get him into the system for real. Let's have him right there on the field with the clipboard and sitting in the meetings and all of that stuff. Because to me, there's no point in having Brian Hoyer around doing those things. None.
If Jared Stidham is truly this good, then why isn't he the talk of camp? Why is Jakobi Meyers the talk of camp? All right, you know.
Well, this is why I find the timing of this whole thing a little bit kind of weaselly.
It absolutely reeks. You know? The second Tom Brady goes out there talking about how he's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, all of a sudden we start hearing about Jared Stidham. And listen, this is one man's opinion, and you know, I'm sure Jeff Howe believes what he says, but if Jared Stidham were really this good, then shouldn't the story every single day be, wow, Jared Stidham looked good again today in practice? Have you heard that once? That's why you hear the shock in Jones and Arcan's voices. Like, really? Wow. Oh, my God. Seriously? Yeah, they were not expecting that whatsoever. Yeah. So I don't buy it one bit.
Again, he's impressive. He's way better right now than Jimmy Garoppolo was at this time.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. That's a pretty glowing assessment of Jared Stidham from Jeff Howe.
Wow.
But I do think, for me, personally, there's something, you know, there's genuine interest for me to turn into this game, not because it's football, again, albeit kind of fake football, and I'm excited that, you know, football's finally back, but there's things to look for tonight, Jared Stidham being one of them. some of these wide receivers. Braxton Berrios has apparently looked better the last couple of days at camp. I had a lot of Miami stands call the show last year, or even on the weekend show when I'm on with Gasper, saying like, oh, Berrios is the real deal. He's going to be Edelman 2.0. Well, fine. I hope you're right. I mean, I have a lot of concerns specifically at that position. I think a lot of Patriots fans do, because to me it feels like Julian Edelman, Philip Dorsett, I guess, and then a million question marks. And people want to try to sell me on Maurice Harris. Chris Gasper at the Globe feels strongly about him. He was with the Redskins last year. Wide receiver, not Gasper, obviously. So, you know, looking at some of these wide receivers and Jacoby Myers, who you mentioned, McCarthy, who's also been one of the camp darlings. And any of this you also got to take with a grain of salt. We all know there's always players you fall in love with. In years past, who was it? Austin Carr that one year.
Right.
Wow.
Bam Childress.
Yeah. And maybe I fall victim to this, McCarthy. I get excited for football when it's back at this time of the year every single year. But every once in a while, you do get a diamond in the rough.
Who was the tight end a couple years ago that everyone got excited
about? That would be, what'd we call him? I forget.
He ended up playing on another NFL team.
Sudfeld. And everybody was calling him Sudfeld.
Wow.
He was the new Gronk, and he's not in the NFL right now. Kind of like last year with Frank Webb, right?
Ralph Webb.
Jerry Webb.
Frank Webb.
Yeah. Where's he?
Wow.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing I most enjoy. And I said it yesterday. I said it on Saturday. So I'll just keep saying it because, you know, we're playing the hits. Is there is inevitably after the first preseason game, there is somebody that we will be in this room talking about tomorrow based on their performance tonight. And whoever that person is, I am standing firm in my belief they will not be on the active roster week one. They will not be part of this by the time week one rolls around. Because if they're a star in preseason game number one, then they're not really that much of a star.
Wow. It's the pizza delivery bowl tonight. Because
wide receiver Danny Etling has this written all over him. I could see him going out tonight, you know, 10 passes for whatever, 50 yards and a touchdown. Mm. People are like, boy, this Danny Etling thing, that's really working out. This will be great. We can have another wide receiver option, and then you'll never hear from him again.
And based on your response to the quick email chain this morning, McCarthy, you hate all of this. You're like, you're not interested really in the fact that Jared Stidham will get reps tonight or who might actually pop at wide receiver. You hate preseason football.
Oh, God, yes. No, fake football is back, and that is awesome. And, you know, Jim Murray can get all excited about this to watch this year's version of Frank Webb, who, again, will be, you know, shoveling our driveways this winter because he's going to do literally anything else except play in the NFL. So you people can get all excited about the fourth string guy playing out there in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game, and you can get all fired up, and you're going to make me talk about him all weekend long and for the next 3 weeks, and then he's not going to have a job, and we're going to forget about them a month from now. I will watch tonight out of a sense of obligation because you stupid people will make me talk about him.
Because it's the job, McCarthy.
Yes.
Yes. No,
wake me up when real football begins.
Well, I like I said,
that's
for me,
week five for the Patriots.
So. Yeah, wake me up in October.
Most people now feel like it's January for this team, and I kind of don't blame you. But for me, I'm excited it's back, and I'm curious for you, like the Patriots fan, are there things you're genuinely looking forward to tuning into for tonight's first preseason game, Patriots and Lions in Detroit, 617-779-0985. Again, Jeff Howell this morning just gushing about Jared Stidham.
Wow.
Well, that was more McCarthy. That was more Arcand and Jones. No.
He's impressive. Yeah, he's impressive. Way better right now than Jimmy Garoppolo was at this time.
Wow.
We'll get to your calls here. Coming up next on Felger and Mass.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. You're listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. No Felger, no Maz today. Instead, Jim Murray, Marshall Hook in for Mike and Tony. Got Matt McCarthy alongside as well. And you at 617-779-0985. Football's back, everyone. Thank God. Oh, Jesus, even though it's kind of fake football, but at least it's back. I'm excited about it. I feel you're excited about it. I know baseball boy over there isn't.
Yeah, I'm not excited about baseball either. Watch South Park tonight.
Nice product you got over there last night.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't defend it anymore, Jim. I cannot defend baseball.
Who won the game last night, Matt?
Neither team.
Oh,
neither team won the game last night.
Just as an aside, and this is all I really want to spend on that sport and that interminable slug of a sport right now. You still got 2 months of those losers we got to deal with right now while they try to figure things out. They take the team photo yesterday when they already know they're going to fire Dave Dombrowski, which I find hilarious. That they called that a tie, that they blew that lead. Nice bullpen again. You got there, Dave Dombrowski.
Yeah, well.
It's fine.
Bullpen's fine.
Basically fine.
You're tied with the lowly tanking Kansas City Royals. At that point in the game, that's a loss. Major League Baseball should intervene and say, you know what, that's a loss. We're not having them come back in like a couple of weeks to play what could be all of 10 minutes. What sport does that happen in? What a giant pain in the ass. Oh, hey, Royals, we know you just want to go play golf and get this over with. You got to fly back to Boston and resume that game. It only takes maybe 10, 15
what
minutes.
What are we, the top of the 10? So we're guaranteed no matter what happened, because I would love it if it were the bottom of the 10th. And, like, it's over in one pitch.
Right, if there were a runner on third and nobody out.
Not even. Just, you know, walk-off home run. All right, everyone sit down. Play ball. Boom. All right, game over. Thanks for coming, Kansas City.
No, this is exactly what the Red Sox and the Royals deserve. If you cannot complete a 9-inning baseball game in which a grand total of 8 runs were scored in less than 4 hours, you should automatically lose your off day. You should fly. You know what? They should fly both of those teams to Siberia, make them play there, and that is what you get. If you do not play, this should be a rule in baseball. If you do not play a 9-inning game in, I don't know, 3 hours and 15 minutes, you should automatically lose an off day.
I'm for that.
All for it.
And you get a loss.
Exactly.
And a loss column, too. Again, you're
tied
with the Royals at that point. Intervene, Rob Manfred, and just tell the Red Sox, guess what? You're taking the L on this one because you deserve it.
No, make them play. Make them play again. Make them lose that off day. Oh, they don't want to lose that off day. Make them lose it. They deserve it.
You know, now that baseball doesn't actually force the pitcher to throw the pitches for an intentional walk, what they could do is force whoever that guy that I'd never heard of who's on the mound right now, technically speaking, he's on the mound right now. Just credit him with 4 intentional walks, 1 run earned, and just say, oh, sorry, you lost. And by the way, you guys came up to bat in the bottom of the 10th and didn't do anything because, well, you're the Red Sox. So, of course, he didn't do anything, and it's just over. I mean, they could do it. They could give 3 Red Sox a strikeout and give that one pitcher 4 intentional walks and just call it a day.
But Patriots-Lions tonight, preseason football. Is there anything you're genuinely excited to tune in for? 617-779-0985. You might have heard the glowing reports on Jared Stidham, the fourth rounder that they drafted this year, the quarterback. So maybe he's the heir apparent to Tom Brady. How about Samson there, Chase Winovich, who was one of the best players defensively in college football last year for Michigan, who they draft. I'm excited to see how this kid looks. If he pops, did they make him cut his hair? Does he lose his powers? Let's not make those kind of references, Jim. They're going to go over everyone's head. Gino and Weymouth, you're first up here on Felger and Mass today. Hello, Gino.
Hey, guys. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing how Jared Stidham can develop chemistry with some of these wide receivers. Because say if you put him out there in the game with receivers who are going to be out there on day one, and he looks good, he continues to like make good throws and gets solid chemistry with these guys, how easy like do you think during the offseason will it be to say, Brady, hey, like we have solid chemistry with your heir apparent, quote-unquote, and here he is, so...
Well, Gino, and this is why it's interesting, right? So it's a pay bump for Tom Brady. It is not an extension. We all have come to the realization at this point. We know it's like a fake extension. It's just a placeholder. It's fake. It's fake. So the season will end, and at 4:01 at the end of the league year, another team, I said, you know, hypothetically, the Tennessee Titans, Marshall, you said the LA Rams, a team that's now the Patriots can call Tom Brady for the first time in his career and say, hey, we're interested in your services. We're offering you $40 million guaranteed. If Jared Stidham ends up having like good chemistry with, you know, the actual ones and the best Patriots wide receivers, well, if Tom Brady then hangs up that phone call with whatever team that is and goes back to the Crafts and the Patriots and says, hey, someone's offered me $40 million guaranteed. I'm giving you first right of refusal. What do you think Bill and the Patriots are going to do?
Oh, they're no way.
If Jared Stidham looks like he has, you know, he could connect with the ones and the offense doesn't really look all that different, they're going to move on. This is why I know people get, and I'm going to read an email later, the email of the day. Boy, people real pissed about this. He's not leaving the Patriots. He's going to retire. Why the men's health article? Why the continued promotion of TB12? Why the crazy dedication that you still see at this point? It's a possibility, albeit a slight one, that he could go play for another team next year.
I mean, I don't understand why people don't understand that that's a possibility. Is it just the legend is that, you know, the legend that is Tom Brady, we can't imagine him playing anywhere else? If you have watched professional sports, it happens all the time. I mean, classic Willie Mays finished his career playing for the Mets.
Right.
I mean, you can do
Jordan
it with,
and the Wizards.
All of these guys, you know, they lose their ability to play at some level. Like, it erodes, but they still want to play, and the team moves on from them. And I get that with Tom Brady, we're talking about a whole nother level of guy. But to your point, Michael Jordan didn't finish his career with the Bulls, you know? Willie Mays, different time, whatever, didn't finish his team, career where he started either. So there is a very clear record of a couple things here. Bill Belichick moves on from people, right? He hasn't been allowed to in this case, but we're pretty sure he wanted to at some point. And who knows? Maybe Bob Kraft was right. I think they recently won a Super Bowl, did the Patriots, with Tom Brady. So it's worked out well for them. But we know that Bill Belichick is ready to do that. And we know that Bill Belichick has done it many times before, moving on from very popular players. And yes, I understand none of them are Tom Brady level popular, but we also are pretty sure that Tom Brady wants to keep playing. So if we know that Bill Belichick's ready to move on, we know that Tom Brady's not ready to retire, and we can tell from this contract that maybe Tom Brady and Bob Kraft are no longer on the same page where they've been. You take those three things, you tell me how I can read that any other way than not that he definitely will play somewhere else, but that it's definitely a possibility. What am I missing that says that, no, it's impossible. It's impossible. It won't happen.
Fabiano on this very thing. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to know what you guys think of McDaniels leaving the Patriots for another coaching position and bringing Brady with him.
I mean, that could happen, too. I think that there's...
He's already got Bill O'Brien somewhere else to go to.
I just think it's, look at some of the teams that are maybe a quarterback away, that also are looking maybe at this coming season as an assessment, looking at it as an assessment for how they're going to go forward with that quarterback. That's why I say the Tennessee Titans. They've done a good job building that team, the defensive side of the ball. They've drafted pretty well. They have a pretty good offensive line, but Marcus Mariota sucks. This feels like this could be his last year there. There's a connection with Mike Vrabel, who's the head coach there, so that's why I threw that out there. Now, is Tennessee a sexy market for Tom Brady to go to? No, but I could see how that could be a good fit. Same with the Chicago Bears. Great defense, probably the best in the league. Mitch Trubisky kind of stinks to me, so maybe they're looking at this year as an assessment there. You have an offensive-minded head coach in Matt Nagy. Like, there's places. I don't think you necessarily need to have Josh McDaniels if you're Brady and you know you want to play somewhere else. You don't need him.
If you're a guy from California who's lived in L.A. before, like Sean McVay, and looks at the four wide receivers that the L.A. Rams have who are better than any of the ones you have, pretty sure you can go there without bringing Josh McDaniels along for the ride.
Let's go to Phil in Malden on last night's rain delay for the Red Sox and the Kansas City Royals. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, Murray, just want to comment on that rain delay last night. And then I don't know if you heard Cora's comments post-game that he feels bad that the game is going to be replayed on August 21st and the Sox are going to lose an open date. And they'll miss out on Marine Land. And
Phil, what he should do is say, we deserve to lose. We deserve to lose because we're losers. And we gave it up to the Kansas City Royals. We lost the series to the Kansas City Royals. It's not fair for them to have to travel back for what could be all of 5 to 10 minutes of baseball to figure out the rest of this mostly worthless game because they're tanking and we're not going to make the playoffs. So we'll take the L. So we'll just make it convenient for everybody. Oh, God. For him to sit there and whine about that last night, just take the loss.
No, they deserve this. Again, because if you can't play a 9-inning baseball game, if it takes you 4 hours to get through 9 innings, you deserve to lose an off day. And again, you should not play it at Fenway Park. You should play it in Siberia. They should send both of those teams there as a punishment. There is no way on God's green earth that it should take 4 hours to play a 9-inning baseball game in which a grand total of 8 runs are scored. There is nothing more valuable to baseball players and people in baseball than off days. You get like 9 of them over the course of a 162-game season. You don't get off days. They're the most valuable thing ever. So the fact that they lost it, good. You deserve it. You absolutely deserve it because you are ruining this game on a night-in, night-out basis. Play the game faster. Thank you.
Like, I do feel for someone like you, McCarthy. Like, I mostly, at this point, like a game like last night, I got to tune in because of work. Like, let's be honest. Because if I didn't do this, would I watch Red Sox Royals in a season like this for the Red Sox over my dead body? But you'd be there regardless. And they're doing their damnedest to force you to hate that sport.
Oh, yes. No, I'm getting to the point where I do. And if I do, Jim, again, I love baseball, probably more than anything. Live, breathe, eat, sleep, die baseball. You're murdering the game every single night, slowly and painfully.
And
I'm watching this, and they don't care about murdering the game because the players are like, well, if you don't like baseball, then don't watch. Yeah, no, people like baseball. They would like it if you played it in 2.5 hours the way the game used to be played. Baseball did not used to be a four-hour game. Baseball never took 4 hours. Why all of a sudden are we playing four-hour games? Fix it. Stop this. Stop the madness. Move it along. Suck faster, Red Sox. Thank you.
How long would this show take if every time, like, you asked a question, because you're a facilitator now, you facilitated a little bit, but before I answered, I adjusted my collar, I pushed back from the table, you know, did a couple stretches, pulled back up to the table, moved the microphone around, adjusted the collar again, then gave you an opinion. Because that's basically what baseball does. It's like, all right, it's your turn to do a thing again. Yeah, but I'm going to adjust and do all these things and fidget around. And if it doesn't feel quite right, like if I pull back up to the microphone and it doesn't feel quite right, well, then I'm going to do it all over again. I'm going to pull back again.
I'm going to
adjust the color, you know, stretch the legs, move back around, adjust the microphone, and then we'll see if I can come out with your opinion. That's what baseball is.
Marshall, in a perfect and just world, they'd put dog collars on all of them.
Yes.
Zap them. Like, throw the ball. Swing the bat. Let's go. Let's go. Nobody has this kind of time. Patriots, tonight, preseason. I'm pumped for it. Are you? What are you looking for? Jared Stidham, it sounds like he could, well, based on the reports this week, just really, it's funny. It's the ironic timing after the Tom Brady extension, fake extension, just pay bump was announced. Jared Stidham, all of a sudden, the darling of camp. So you excited to see him tonight, the wide receivers, any concern there? Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985. Get to that and your calls coming up right after the Sports Up headlines here with Matt McCarthy.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Yeah, camp's going well. Every day is just a learning process. And, you know, I said this last week whenever I did media, but it still holds true. You know, when you put yourself in a kind of a different environment and an uncomfortable situation, and that situation doesn't change, it forces you as a person and as a player to grow. And I look forward to that and just being the best human and best teammate and best player that I could be every day.
Now, that's someone I'm looking forward to seeing tonight. The first Patriots preseason game. Patriots, Lions in Detroit. If you don't recognize that voice yet, that is rookie Chase Winovich, defensive end drafted out of Michigan. I don't watch as much college football as I used to, but I did watch enough to know that this kid was one of the best players defensively in the country last year. So I like this pick. Hopefully it pans out. He has his number. All the rookies got aside in their numbers officially. So he is Chase Winovich is just like Mike Vrabel and Rob Ninkovich, number 50 in your playbook and number one in the hearts of those ladies that do love the romance novels because he's got the flowing blonde hair. But Winovich, I do think, could be a real deal, at least just, you know, based on his collegiate career. So that's someone I'm looking forward to seeing tonight. How about you? 617-779-0985.
I am curious who they're going to be throwing to. Like, we already know that it's going to be Brian Hoyer and Jarrett Stidham. Who are they going to be throwing to? Because Demaryius Thomas isn't out there. N'Keal Harry isn't out there. Like, none of your real starters are out there. So is it going to be Danny Etling? Is it going to be, I don't know, whoever that next guy is? Who?
Maurice Harris,
yeah.
Braxton Berrios. I mean, somebody. There's so many unknowns at that position. Like, that, you know, I think is from some fans a concern going into this season.
Because the caller said, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, what Jared Stidham can do chemistry-wise with the guys who will be out there. Well, they're not going to be out there tonight. So you're not really going to learn that. And so unless Jared Stidham gets a lot of quality time in, I don't know, week three, I don't know that you're going to see that at any point during this preseason.
This is more to my point why tonight is fake football. And ultimately, it doesn't really matter. Sure, there are the occasional players that you'll be excited to see. I, too, am excited to see Chase Winovich. I will be curious to see what Jared Stidham looks like. Is he going to be out there with the ones, the quote-unquote ones? Is he going to be coming in after Hoyer? That's kind of interesting, sure. But on the whole, it's fake football, all right? You've got a bunch of guys out there who are not going to make the team, and what am I supposed to glean from that? Like, if Jared Stidham looks good or not good, well, who's he throwing to? Again, does it really matter? What can you really learn from all of this? Just about nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Mike,
nothing.
Mike in the car with the Patriots thought. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I was just wondering, with Brady's contract or, you know, fake extension being null and void at the end of the season. Does that mean the whole thing with him not being able to be franchised or transitioned, is that null and void too?
No, that is part of it. Basically, you take the whole thing and it gets rid of the additional years and adds into there, and you also can't, you know, keep me around. So it's all designed to make him basically an unrestricted free agent.
Okay.
All right, Mike. Good talk.
All right. Kevin. Happy to be your live radio version of Google.
And it's a placeholder, really, what it is. Like, if he's playing out of his mind and it's an MVP level, you know, from a couple of seasons ago, they could theoretically in November say, hey, you know, we want to do this. And then, you know, they essentially call Tom up or pull him aside and say, hey, you know, we actually want to make this happen for the $30 million. I don't see it happening, but they could, in theory, do that. Kevin in Boston on Tom Brady. You're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, guys. Yeah, if you want a modern-day example of, you know, lending to the idea that Brady could leave the Patriots and end his career with another team, you don't have to look any further than Peyton Manning. I mean, prolific career with the one team, the Colts, four MVPs, Super Bowl champion, and they released him because they had the pick, you know, to grab the next guy. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Brady and Manning have been buddies over the years, and he talked to Peyton, and, you know, the whole jump before you push thing came up. And
yeah, Kevin, he's truly his contemporary, you know, over the last 20 years. It's Peyton Manning. I mean, obviously, in terms of the rings, Brady's been more successful. But, you know, go back 15 years when it was just Brady Manning. I didn't at the time think that Manning would ever play for any other team, the Colts. But these things happen. You mentioned it earlier, Marshall. Like, time and time again throughout professional sports, not just the NFL, you see guys end their careers, whether it's a season or two, maybe three, with other teams. You just, you know, 5-6 years prior, you wouldn't even think that would have been possible.
And, you know, people talk about Tom Brady's legacy, right? So let's look at Peyton Manning. Isn't his legacy, and in fact, enhanced by going and winning a Super Bowl with another team?
Yeah.
You know, and wouldn't that be the same for Tom Brady? If Tom Brady goes out, and again, I keep going back to the LA Rams because I think that's the perfect fit, you know, from top to bottom. And it is a team that if he signed with them next year, and if he were the starting quarterback for them next year, they absolutely would be in position to immediately win a Super Bowl. And if he did that, if he left and then immediately won a Super Bowl with another team that wasn't coached by Bill Belichick, you're going to tell me that hurts his legacy? That hurts his No, friends. That enhances his legacy because at least for 1 year, you have an answer to, well, which one of these guys can win a Super Bowl without the other one? That guy would be Tom Brady.
But I reject the Manning comparisons for a few reasons. Obviously, he had the injury that caused him to miss the season. You had no idea if he was ever going to come back the same player again. And also, because of that injury, the Colts lucked into, and I was not planning on using that word, ha 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 ha, very funny, they got a generational quarterback coming out of the draft, because at the time, Andrew Luck was considered to be the best quarterback the NFL draft had seen in years. This is a totally different situation. I don't care what anybody says about Jarrett Stidham. We have no idea as to whether he's the next guy. Luck was as sure a bet to be the next guy coming out of the draft as just about anybody we had seen in a long time. It's a totally different scenario.
Yeah, that's why, for me, in my perfect Jim Murray scenario, what happens is, as a Brady fan first, more than the Patriots at this point, because I drew my line in the sand after the Super Bowl loss to the Eagles. I was more Brady after than Patriots after that. Brady has a great season this year. Hell, they win their seventh Super Bowl with Brady. He doesn't retire. He goes, plays for another team. Maybe wins another title. In the meantime, next year, the Patriots completely tank, # win never for Trevor, and they end up drafting Trevor Lawrence, number one overall in 2021, and then you have your next quarterback for the next 20 years, because he's going to be a generational talent. Will that happen? No. But in my crazy mind, I would love that to happen. 617-779-0985, couple open lines. You want to join us? What are you looking for tonight in the first Patriots preseason game? You want to talk about the Brady contract? Fine, I get it. And also, if you want to talk about last night's interminable rain delay, hey, Royals, come back in a couple of weeks. We got to finish this thing. Might take 5-10 minutes, but we got to bring it back. We'll take your calls on that. And as much as baseball gets wrong nowadays, McCarthy, they did get one thing right. I do want to touch on a big story in baseball coming up as well in our long commercial-free segment here. Felger and Mass, Jim Murray and Marshall Hook in for the guys today.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, is this heaven? No.
It's Iowa.
Felger and Maz, our long commercial-free segment, 98.5 of Sports Up, simulcast on NBC Sports Boston. It's Jim Murray and Marshall Hook in for Mike and Tony. You got Matt McCarthy alongside as well. So, in the event you haven't been on social media yet today or haven't listened much to the station, big news in baseball. The Yankees and the White Sox are going to be playing the first ever MLB game in Iowa at the field where Field of Dreams was shot. It's got to be over like 30 years now. And that clip is actually, it's part of the movie, but you have Aaron Judge in it asking Kevin Costner's character, hey, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. And I know, look, if any of you follow me on Twitter, at Big Jim Murray, you think I'm predisposed to hate everything and I'm mostly a grump, which for the most part is kind of true. This is so awesome. Like, they announced just today, and I'm not even the biggest baseball guy anymore, as you know, McCarthy, yep. But even I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like, how can you not think this is awesome? They're putting in 8,000 seats. They're building this thing up. People can't not like this, right? This is such an amazing idea. They haven't really announced how you can get tickets yet. But what the hell are they going to go for in the secondary market?
Well, there are only 8,000 seats.
Right.
And so...
And think how many sons will want to take their dads. Oh, like, people God. Are going to be out of their minds for this 7, thing.
7,959 of those will go to people who work for Major League Baseball or one of the teams. So really, you'll be vying for 45
that's
seats.
That's a good point.
This is awesome. I mean... And I think that maybe this will even warm the heart of somebody who's as dead inside as Matt McCarthy at this point. Like, in a sport that does so much wrong and so much stupid, like the London series that made no sense to me. I didn't see at all what the point. There's no history of baseball in London. There's no chance of baseball becoming a thing in England. Like, there was no point to that. To this, there is a point. It's romantic in the true sense of the word.
Arguably the best baseball movie of all time. Like, people that love the game, or even if you don't really
anyone
love
anyone who like ranks them. Their whatever top three baseball movies, I think it's in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Field of Dreams, The Natural, like for me, Major League, but whatever, it's all in there. And I have been to this place. I have been to Dyersville, Iowa. I have been to the Field of Dreams. The one problem, as I pointed out to both of you in the break, the one problem with this great plan is it is in the middle of nowhere. Like, you think you know the middle of nowhere. You think you go out to, like, Western Mass, and you're like, oh, boy, we're in the middle of nowhere out here. No, 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 no. Go ahead and go to Google Maps. Look up Dyersville, Iowa. It's one of those parts on the maps where all of the roads are just straight. It's just, you know, there's one that goes north to south for 400 miles and another one that crosses it. And there are no side roads. Like, there is nothing out there. It took us hours of driving on two-lane roads through the corn to get to this place, which is part of the romance. Like, that's part of the journey of it when we finally got there, is it's not Disneyland. You don't just fly a plane, hop out, you know, hop in an Uber and you're there. It takes work to get to the Field of Dreams. It takes a lot of work. And I'd be willing to go for this game, 100%. I would love to be able to go
McCarthy,
to this game.
You go to this, you bring your dad. Like, you cry the whole game.
Oh, right? Of course you do. Yeah. 100%. And this is, to somebody like me, Jim, who just loves baseball, I mean, this is perfect, right? It's absolutely perfect. It's everything that some sap like me loves about the game, going out to the middle of nowhere to, you know, going out to heaven in Iowa and bringing your dad. I mean, I might get just choked up right now thinking about this because I want to take my dad to this. I do. And happy birthday, Dad. But, like, just I want to take him to this. And this would be the coolest thing ever. Even me, somebody who truly hates just about everything, if you love baseball, this is everything that you love baseball for, the romance. America has rolled by like an army of steamrollers. All that crap. I eat that crap up. This is the best thing Major League Baseball has done in years.
Mark in the car on this very thing. You're next here on Felger and Maz. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Big Jim, can you picture it now? Deep fly ball of center. The guy disappears into the corn.
Oh, I love it.
I mean, are they actually going to build a wall like in front of the corn? Or,
well,
like, if the ball
no,
was in there,
please don't.
Will double,
to be
you know
clear,
what, I mean?
What they're doing is they're the actual Field of Dreams field where they filmed the movie that still exists. They are building this field adjacent to it. So technically, it's not the very field, but it's in the same corn. They're basically cutting across to the other side of the corn and putting this thing up there.
My question is, the way baseball has been going down the toilet over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so, why did it take Major League Baseball 30 freaking years to do this?
No,
that field has been, I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a good point. And maybe it has something to do with the people that actually own the land and convincing them, but it really does feel like something that shouldn't have taken this long.
Well, and I can tell you, the good news is that even when this game has come and gone, you know, Matt, you can still go there. And as part of the romance of it, it costs you nothing. Like, there's no entrance fee. You literally do what you see in the movie is you turn down a dirt road, you drive down a hill, there's the parking lot, the same dirt parking lot, and then you just walk out in the field, you walk in and out of the corn. You can sit on the stands, though they're, you know, where it says Annie loves whoever. You know, like, it's all right there. Ray plus Annie, I think that's what it says. The only way they make money is they have a small, completely, like, made out of wood, like a lemonade stand where they sell T-shirts. And that's it. And even that is over off to the side and very unassuming. There is no commercialism to this thing whatsoever. It's the real house, the real field, and the real corn. And this baseball stadium will be, you know, the equivalent of a half a block away on the other side of the corn. So, you know, if you look at it from above, you'll be able to see both fields at the same time. It's going to be awesome.
And so it's going to be played August 13th, 2020. So again, 8,000-seat ballpark that's being built next door to the site where the actual field is from the movie. And you got to figure, even if they put them on sale for $25, like secondary market, those things will go for
thousands and thousands of dollars.
$1,500.
Well, as you said, like, who wouldn't want to bring their dad to this?
Right, especially dad's like old and close to death. Like, you get to take your dad to the Field of Dreams and watch a real game there, especially if he's a Yankee or a White Sox fan. Oh, my God.
Matt, I think you and I need to pitch this to the station now.
We do.
We need to be there on media credentials is what we need to do.
See, you have an in. You can fool the world with letterhead. Yeah, just take some, even if you don't ask the bosses, take some Sports Hub letterhead. I bet you can get in.
Wait, Mike Thomas, I will never, ever ask for anything again. Where's the camera? Where's the camera? Mike Thomas, I will never ask for anything ever again. Please, please make this happen for me.
We only have an hour and a half to go. It's a shortened show today. If you're just joining us, you don't know why. It's because, you know, Patriots football starts tonight, albeit preseason. But hey, football's back, so what are you looking for in tonight's game? Jared Stidham, if you didn't hear it earlier, we'll play some sound from Jeff Howell of The Athletic, who was on the morning show today. It wasn't Tutcher and Richie. I had Adam Jones and Kristen Arkand in. You didn't hear what he had to say about Jared Stidham? That'd be some reason for you to tune in tonight, because this kid, according to Howell, could be the real deal. We'll play that audio for you again and continue to take your calls here in our long commercial-free segment at 617-779-0985. First, though, here's Matt McCarthy to get you caught up in the Sports Hub headlines.